This is a recording of Rabbi Elezer Kupperman Shlita, a Talmud of Rabban, who tells us about his recollections with Rosh Hashiva.
The first time I met Rosh Hashiva was way before I came to Yeshiva. I lived on 49th and 15th Avenue, and the Rosh Hashiva moved into Borough Park until 47th and 15th Avenue. So I used to come across the Rosh Hashiva every few weeks, but I was in great fear of him because he had this look in his face, and I really didn't speak to him until 3 or 4 years after he moved into the neighborhood, when he started Chinuch Atzmai, and I was a member of the Tzirah Gerus Yisrael, and a group of us got involved to help the Yeshiva raise money for Chinuch Atzmai. I was personally involved because I was starting to be an accountant then, and he asked me to file the papers to get tax exemption for the American Friends of Chinuch Atzmai, which I did, and in that capacity I met with him a number of times. Also, they had set up a small office in someone's business in Manhattan, and I went there a number of times, and the Yeshiva was there also, calling people, and he would discuss the business angle of Chinuch Atzmai. Like I said, I was an accountant then. I had left Yeshiva because I didn't have a father. I had to help with the breadwinning, and I worked a number of years, and I was still young, and I wanted to return. I had this cheshik to return to learning. I said every day.
What yeshiva did you learn?
I had learned in Tel Adas. I had left in the middle of Beis Medrash, and I always wanted to go back to learning, and I did have shiurim early in the morning and at night and weekends, Sunday and so on. When my youngest sister got engaged, so the setup in the family was such that I wasn't needed anymore as a breadwinner for the family, and I started looking around that maybe I could take a year off and learn. So I looked at all the possibilities, and the only place that I felt had the kind of mature learning that at that point would draw me, and the serious full-time learning was what I heard about Lakewood. I really hadn't been in Lakewood, but what I heard about it.
What year was that?
That was in 1959. And so I decided that I would go to Lakewood. And so I went to Rabbi Aaron, and I asked him if he would take me to the yeshiva. Mm-hmm. So he was a little bit, the first time I brought it up, he was a little bit shocked. He said, aren't you working this? I said, yes, but I would like to go back to learning at least for a year. So he said, it's much easier to work than to learn. To learn takes a lot of application. Are you willing to do that? So I said, yes, but then, you have to fit into the yeshiva. You have to be the right madrega in learning, otherwise it's not going to work out for you. You're going to be a failure, so you're not going to have the cheshek, you're not going to get out of it. So I said to the yeshiva, so maybe the yeshiva for me. So he said, I should come for Yom Kippur to Lakewood. Yom Kippur was on Shabbos that year. Yom Kippur was on Shabbos, yeah. So he told me to come to Lakewood, and Yom Kippur was on Monday. So I should come to Lakewood for Yom Kippur, and he'll see on Erev Yom Kippur, on Metz Yom Kippur, he'll put away some time to speak to me. So I came on Erev Yom Kippur, and I went over to the yeshiva, and he said he can't talk to me. He's he just got a call from Eretz Yisrael, and he just can't talk to anybody. He just got a call that the Briskerov was nifta, and he said like he couldn't talk. And So I was there Yom Kippur, and Mitzvah Yom Kippur, I went back to him again, and he said he just can't. He says we'll have to be in New York, he said, for a few days this week, and maybe after Sukkot we'll have to work out something. So I called him up in New York, and then he told me, he asked me if maybe I would come for Shmini Atzeres, and happened to be that my sister was getting married the week after Sukkot, and my brother-in-law, my future brother-in-law, was going to have his Eifuf on Shmini Atzeres, which fell on Shabbos, and he decided he's going to make it in Lakewood. So I was going to Lakewood anyways. Mm-hmm. So I made up with Rosh Shiva that he's going to forgive me then.
Why did he want to make it in Lakewood?
He was a Talmud. He was learning in Lakewood. He was going to learn in Lakewood and go be in the Kaidel here, my brother-in-law. So I came, and again, the Erev Yantuf, he was busy, this one came, that one came, and Maitse Yantuf, he was also, this just didn't work out. So we made an appointment for Wednesday morning. In other words, I would go to work, I would daven at 6:30 minyan, and I had a seder between 7 and 8, and then I would go to work, I would go to eat breakfast, I had to be at work 9:30 in Manhattan, and that was my seder. So instead of learning with my chavrusa that Wednesday morning, 7 o'clock, we made up that I'm going to meet in Rosh Shiva's house with him, and we're going to talk and learning. Tuesday night, the Rebbetzin calls my wife and my mother and says that it was pretty late Tuesday night, that I should come to yeshiva on Sunday, that I'm accepted. I didn't know why, you know, what happened here. I guess the yeshiva wanted to fehear me, and he insisted, you know, that he had to find out if I'm holding by it. So when I learned between 7 and 8, I used to learn in the Nevada yeshiva, which was a half a block away from my house, with my chavrusa. But they davened at 7:30. So we used to learn in Rabbi Avraham Yaffen's office. And the way we could learn in his office is, his office was very rundown, dilapidated, and we offered him that we would fix it over, paint it, and put in new lighting if he would let us learn there. And he agreed. Of course, he came in the middle of our learning to put on his tassels and fill in, but that didn't disturb us. And there was adequate room there for both the chavrusa's learning and for him to take care of himself. So he comes in that morning, Wednesday morning, and he says to me, that I own Shatranas. Mm-hmm. So I said, Shatranas, I'm not a chassan. So he said, Ananda saw Shatranas. He said, last night, I was at a meeting of, we had a meeting with Shivas about the Mechalik money that we were getting from the reparations. And I was sitting next to Rab Aaron, and he was very nervous, and he said he has to go home early. He has to get up and daven very early because he has an appointment 7 o'clock in the morning in his house. And I asked him, what 7 o'clock in the morning? So he says, yeah, I have to fehear bachas. So he says, why do you have to make it 7 o'clock in the morning? So he says, he works, and that's when he has a seder. Instead of coming to the seder, he's going to come to learn. So he said, what's the bachas name? So he said, my name. So Avraham Yaffen told him that I know him. So he said, how do you know him? So he said, he learns in my office every morning. So Rabbi Aaron asked him, should I take him? So Rabbi Avraham Yaffen said, yes, you should take him. So Rabbi Aaron said, fine. So he took a phone, called up his Rebbetzin, told the Rebbetzin to call my mother. So Rabbi Avraham Yaffen got me into Lakewood. And Sunday morning when I came to yeshiva, so I went straight to the yeshiva, and he said I should try to get chavrusas, and if I can't get on my own, I should speak to him or to the mashgiach. So I had some friends here, and I had a cousin, and I had my new brother-in-law here. So between them, I got chavrusas right away. I went back to the yeshiva. Then the mashgiach called me in, and he proposed me a chavrusa, and I said, I have already. And he said, maybe this one's better. Anyways, so since I was already comfortable with the yeshiva, he made me very comfortable, by the way. I went back to him, and I asked him an etzah. If I should take the chavrusa from the mashgiach suggested, or the chavrusa that my cousin had suggested. So he told me that it would be better for you the one your cousin suggested. So I went back to Rosh to my
Shiva. Did you call your cousin to death? Or
no,
who it was?
No, he knew who it was.
Oh, oh.
He knew the Bach. He said, this Bach was good for you. I went back to Mashiach and I said, I asked Roshiv advice, and he told me, he said, Mashiach says, advises you. That's, after that, the Roshiv treated me very, very, like a son. He constantly checked up on me if I was progressing properly. And after a week, he proposed to me that, first of all, and I left out something, when he accepted me, he told me that the condition is that I can't leave till Pesach, the yeshiva, at any time without his specific permission. Even though my mother was a widow, and I didn't want to visit her sometimes, he said that I could not go from the yeshiva the first month without his specific permission, because otherwise I'll never make it. And then after the next weekend, when he came back to Lakewood, he set up for me a chavrusa to learn with on the weekends, and a chavrusa to chaz over the shiur with. And he asked me who my roommate is, and he called in my roommate and told him that Ben Asdarim, before you go to take a nap, he has to learn with me Tanakh for 10 minutes. And we learned that winter Sefer Yecheskel, 44 prokim in Sefer Yecheskel, those 10 minutes a day. And also that he has to speak to me in learning before we go to sleep. So every night we had to say over something to each other.
Was this what he did with you similar to other people? Or was it
most other bachim came from a yeshiva, and they had a mahalach, and they had a few chavusas already that they had, like a chabur that they learned with. So I don't think he spent so much time. Also, he was, for some reason, he was very interested in getting me involved inside the yeshiva, to feel like, you know, and I'm not, because I came from a different sort of a background than most of the bachim who went yeshiva, being that I also had gone to college, and I had and I was already a professional. So he was trying all his educational skills to try to make sure that I would succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it in a very personal way. Whenever I wanted to speak to him, so a lot of bachim were still very scared of him, even though he was very close to everybody. But I didn't have this, I had this awe of him, but I wasn't afraid to approach him.
Mm-hmm.
And he made it very easy for me to speak to him. And my dormitory room was in the same building that the yeshiva stayed in, which was a block away from the Beis Medrash. And it was very, very often we walked together from one building to the other. And whenever that happened, he used to ask me if I understood the shiur and if I could repeat a piece. He would ask me what I'm learning and if I have any kashas. And he was very, 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 like, approachable and very easy. When he said a shiur for the Elam, he was, like, completely absorbed in the shiur, and nevertheless he noticed everything that was going on, and he saw somebody that was somebody who wanted to ask something, or, like, he immediately turned his head, like, say something. And the Elam at that time, when I came to yeshiva, was already in 1959. The yeshiva was older, and the Elam felt that they shouldn't interrupt him in the shiur because he used to get very excited and it wasn't very healthy for him. So very few people asked questions during the shiur. But he had on Friday afternoon, before Mincha, he used to say Chazorah of the shiur. He'd say in the winter, he'd say shiur makes a Shabbos, and in the summer on Shabbos afternoon. And usually there was a hemshech on Sunday morning or Monday morning. And on Friday, in about between a half an hour and 45 minutes, he would say a quick chazorah of the one or two shiurim that he said during that week. And by that chazorah, anybody who was in yeshiva a year or less was expected to be there, or anybody who for some reason missed a shiur.
So the first year I was by these Chazoros, and by the Chazorah, there were usually only 15 to 20 Talmidim, and you could ask questions. And a number of times I did ask questions, and sometimes Toshiva would answer, and sometimes he would get very excited. And I remember one time that when I was pretty new that I asked a question, and he got very excited, and he called me almost every way that you can say a person is an Amoritz. And there was a bocher that I knew well, who had been already in yeshiva about 3 years, and when the yeshiva was finished and said a teretz to my kasha, he gave me a nudge and whispered to me, "The yeshiva must really like you because you got excited that you asked something that wasn't exactly, you know, to the zach, but he answered you." But when he gets excited like this, it's a good sign, because he wanted to make me feel well.
How did you feel yourself while it was going on?
It was going on, I was scared stiff, like, you know, there's something very wrong.
How long were you in yeshiva until that happened?
About 2 months. I felt I was doing something very wrong, but then the yeshiva said a teretz, and I heard that he sometimes got excited this way. This is the first time that I saw it, and it happened to be the, if you can call it, a victim. Mm-hmm. There was another time, it was much later, I was already in yeshiva for the second year, and I didn't go to the shiur that morning because I had been up late the night before. So when the second seder, when I walked out of the Beis Medrash, the yeshiva saw me from his office and called me over and asked me where I'd been in the morning. He knows I hadn't been by the shiur. So I told him why I wasn't by the shiur, so he said, "Fine, but you have to come to the Chazorah on Friday." So I came to the Chazorah, and it happened to be in Masechta Yevamos, and I had learned that sugya that he said the shiur on, had learned it quite well, and while he was saying the shiur, something didn't fit. So I asked him, and again he got very excited, and a minute later, all of a sudden he stops and he says, "I forgot to say Chafel Dashtiko." So he said over there that before he should have put in this piece. As soon as he put in this piece, I understood that that's what I didn't understand. It was missed. That piece was missing. He took a look at me and he said, "Should have understood that I left out something. It's not that you didn't have a kasher. There was something missing." And a few weeks later, again, I interrupted him with a kasher. And he got very excited, and he, instead of berating me, he started saying over the rest of the Chazorah very, very quickly, so that he finished. They left him about 10 minutes before Mincha, and then he called me into his office, and he started taking out a Gemara and showing me a Gemara and a Rambam so quickly that I didn't understand what he was saying, but I tried to keep track of all the ma'amakimus he was giving me, like in 10 minutes. So after Mincha, I went over to one of the Talmidim, to Rabbi Yaakov Schneidman, and I asked him, I said, "I asked this question, and the Yeshiva was the guy who finished the Chazor very quickly and took me into his office and gave me all these gemaras and this so quickly that I couldn't chap it, but these are the ma'amakimus he gave me." So he laughed and he said to me, that in Yevamos you asked him a kasha that he had a shir in the Dorim. He was so excited that you asked him the kasha on which he built a shir in the Dorim, that he was telling you over the whole shir in the Dorim, all the Mamakimus, and he sent me, he said that he thinks that shir, there was Shlomo Miller wrote over very well, and asked him for the notes. So I went to Shlomo Miller, I got the notes, and I looked it over that whole Friday afternoon. And that, it was the teretz in my kasha, and it was all the ma'amar kindness that the yeshiva had shown me. He was, when somebody chapped on something that he had worked on, he used to get so excited to show it, to show you that he had something to say on it. So I had looked over the shiur, and then Friday night, I asked him if he wanted to answer my kasha with this yesod that he said in the Dorim, and he said yes, he was very happy that
had followed up on it. I want to speak a little bit about that he was always involved in all the Talmidim's personal life, because he felt that he said that if you have to be taken care of, otherwise you can't have a menuchas nefesh to sit and learn Torah. So when I was in yeshiva, I came to yeshiva for a year. I took a year of absence from the firm I was working for, and came the summer. He called me over and he said, "I think you should stay another year." So I said, "Why?" So he said, "Well, you're learning well, and it'll be a very good thing for you if you do a shidduch while you're still in yeshiva. You get a different kind of, you have a different kind of family." So then he started to talk to me about shidduchim, and he mentioned one to me, and he said that I shouldn't, since I don't have a father to handle for me, that I shouldn't do a shidduch without checking up with him, that he'll be my father to handle shidduchim for me. So he proposed to me a shidduch, and I checked it out, and I found out that it wasn't exactly, the parents were fine, but the party wasn't exactly. So okay, so I was talking about the summer after I came to yeshiva, and the yeshiva recommended to me to stay another year, and he started, and he, one of the reasons that he gave me was for shidduchim, and he told me that he would be my father to handle shidduchim for me. And he proposed a shidduch, of course, that particular one was not particularly lemaisa. Then it had a few more, I had proposed proposals, and I always checked up with him, and he advised me what to do. When I finally met the young lady who became my wife, so after I'd met her a few times, and I felt I might be interested, I went to speak to the yeshiva. So he told me that he was going to Florida for 2 weeks, but I shouldn't do anything till he comes back. I shouldn't finish anything till he comes back. And if I have any questions, I should call him in Florida, and he left his phone number. After I met my present wife another time, I decided that this is what I wanted. So I called the yeshiva in Florida, and he told me he's coming the next day, and I should give a message to her father that in 2 days he should call him up in his house, and because he wants to speak to him. That's what I did, and the next morning, when after the yeshiva had met my future shvei, he called me up in the middle of Seder to tell me that he had met him, and he was very pleased, and I should go ahead. He took a very personal interest that way. Another interesting incident was when my shvei wanted to make the chasna on a Monday, because his business was basically, he had a store on the east side, and his main business was Sunday. So the Monday that he wanted to make it was the first Monday in Elul. And Chol Moed Pesach, I came to Lakewood with my kala to visit my sister who lived here then. And I went into the yeshiva and asked him about the date of the chasna, if it was okay with him. And so he told me then that he has a better idea. He says, "You want to make the chasna Monday, the Chodesh Elul is Sunday. It's going to be a big little Torah." At that time there were 120 Talmidim yeshiva. If somebody made a chasna, 40-50 Talmidim went to the chasna, and the yeshiva was not really functioning. Between the people who had the chasna and the chavrusas, half the yeshiva was not there. The mesh was empty. So that was going to be Monday night, which was supposed to be the second day of the Zman. So he said, "Make a cheshbon." He said, "A lot of people are coming back from the country. So they're going to come back on Sunday. And the second Seder Sunday,
first said on Monday is when this man is really going to start. Now, if you're going to make a chasna Monday night, many people who have some shaitas to New York, instead of coming back to Lakewood, are going to go from the mountains to New York, stay till the chasna, and come back Tuesday morning. So the yeshiva, instead of starting Sunday afternoon, or it was Monday morning for sure, would be starting Tuesday morning. So you get them at least one day, maybe a day and a half, of little Torah. Have a better idea. You can chop for yourself some Talmud Torah. Make the chasna Thursday night before. Some people come to your chasna and stay for Shabbos in New York. So instead of coming from the mountains on Sunday and not be able to learn the whole day Sunday, only Monday, they'll be already in Lakewood Sunday morning, and second Seder Sunday, they'll be learning. So you get the schus of those people learning. So go back to Yeshua and ask him if he can arrange it for Thursday night. So that's what I did, and the chasna was arranged for Thursday night. Then when I came back for this man, I heard that Rashi was going to have to school that summer. So I went over to him and I said, I heard Rashi was going, some of Ben Azman to Etz Yisrael, and Rashi told me to make the chasna while it's still Ben Azman.
I don't understand.
I became a person. Listen. I went on paper. Okay. So the Rashi said to me that even if I'm Etz Yisrael, I'll be back for your chasna. The Maisa, he didn't go to Etz Yisrael. That summer he went to the mountains. The Tuesday night before my chasna, he had the Rebbetzin call my mother and say that they're back in New York, and he remembers that Thursday night is my chasna. I shouldn't worry, he's going to be there. Wednesday morning he calls me up and he says, what are you doing today? So I said, I'm going to go to Nevada to learn. So he said, maybe you come and learn with me. And he asked me to come to his house and he learned with me. And then that morning, and I also...
Did you ever learn with him before? No. The first time we learned Mamish together.
Yeah, and then for the morning, and then the afternoon, I think he had to go to the office or something like that. Anyways, Thursday morning, Dede Chasna, he calls again, wants me to come to the house. So he learned with me for a while, and then he gave me a stickle for hair and the halachas, and a stickle, he gave me a chasim shmuz. I went home for lunch, and I went to Mincha I was fasting. I left to go to Mincha in Nevada. They davened 1:30, and there I davened the Langish Mesa that you daven when you're Chassan. I forgot something. That morning, I davened Svash Yeshua and Rosh Shiva davened the same minyan. So he told the Gabbai to give me an aliyah and that you should not say Tachnun. Because I was getting married in the summer, it was before the night. And then he called me to the house, he told me to come to the house. And I went to the house, and for Mincha I went to Nevada, and then I went home after the Langish Messer, and she would call me again. So I went to the house, and he had some more things to tell me, and he kept me there. So my mother called me that it's time to get fasted again and come to the chasna. He came to the chasna and he stayed to mat the whole chasna, which was very unusual for him, because he used to wait till the chasna kala come in and dance for a little while with the chasna, then he left. And by me, he stayed mamish the whole chasna till after the main dish. He was still there. And I don't know if it's because I listened to him about changing the date or he felt very fatherly.
You mean because you were young?
Yeah. And he gave me a lot of brachas under the chuppah, Amish, a lot of brachas. I was talking about that Toshiv was interested. After I came back, after the chasna, he asked me right away, like, how I'm doing with the panasa. He understands that my shvur promised to help the first year, and does my wife have a job, and how much she's earning, even though I was in yeshiva only 2 years, and at that time you had to be in yeshiva 4 years to get a color check, he asked me if I need a color check, and we worked out that, at that time I didn't need it.
My wife was working the whole day in the day school. But when the next after Pesach, the next year, we decided that it was too hard for my wife in the day school the whole day. She didn't have the time she needed to take care of everything, and she should work only a half a day. So I went to the yeshiva to ask him an answer. So he said, first of all, you go to the rabbi and handle her, that they should give her a raise to work a half a day, because she's a very good teacher from what I hear, and they're going to want her.
These were the words of Rabbi Eliezer Kupperman Shlita.